You're listening to The Drew Marshall Show, Canada's most listened to spiritual talkback program.
Breaker, breaker, breaker one night. Is there anybody out there? I've been running this road for the first time. Sure like to know what's ahead. I've been on the wrong track with the wrong map, and I'm trying to find my way home. So come back if you're on the line. Let me know I'm not alone with this heavy load.
Now, folks, I don't know if you're aware of this cat.
It's all I can do to stay between.
I tell you what. Check out the soul in this boy's voice, Johnny Lang.
Not for the weather. I know it gets better. If I can keep it together. Not now, but just a bump in the road.
It's a kind of song that needs a little. Little hit me. This boy must have grown up listening to James Brown. I can hear Michael McDonald in him, something fierce. I think he does a duet with Michael McDonald later. Michael McDonald has done a duet with everybody. And probably somewhere down the line he's related to Kevin Bacon. Right? Isn't that how it works? Well, a great time on our show today. Start of our fifth season. We've been joined by the owner of the station. Which, boy, I was nervous, eh? Sweating? Whew, man. And, of course, the wild one, Kerry Pomeroli. A tremendous time. Just finished there with Kathy Lee Gifford. And on to our next guest, known, of course, for her role as DJ Tanner on Full House. And she's related to somebody else who does a bunch of acting. I can't remember his name. But she's moved on in life a little bit from there. Well, she's doing a bit of acting, a bit of stuff here and there. But she's raising the family, and she's now married to NHL hockey sensation Valerie Bure. And she is the woman who has convicted me the most spiritually this year. I'd like to have that title, Candace.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Isn't that good?
I like it.
Hey, tell me about Johnny Lang.
Hey, I'm so stoked you're playing him. He's my favorite right now. He's so incredible.
Yeah, I actually think I blew the speakers on my computer yesterday because I was doing some cleaning around the computer and tidying up stuff, and I had this stuff just cranked.
Yeah, he's awesome.
Who is he? He came out of nowhere, child prodigy, open for the Stones.
Well, you know,
what's the deal?
I think we've been under the rock because it's like his sixth album.
Right.
And he's, yeah, Grammy nominated and all that stuff. But
yeah.
I just, you know what? I get these CDs sent to me through my little, like, CD club.
Uh-huh.
So they'll send me one free one a month, and of course I mark off Christian music as my thing.
You signed up for those get free CDs or get them for 6 cents a week or something like that?
I'm all about it, and I order off of infomercials, and, you know, I do it all.
Didn't realize you were that cheap.
UBC, HSN shopper, you know.
You are a funny girl. Funny girl. Here's a little interview with Dave Coulier.
Did you just interview him?
No, but I'm going to read it. Just stay with the program here.
Okay.
Here we go. Now, he says, whoever was interviewing him said, I want you to tell me what comes to mind when I say this person's name. And they said, Bob Saget. Dave Coulier said, filthy and dirty. John Stamos, nerdier than people think.
Yeah, probably.
Jody Sweeten, she's a sweetheart who's having an internal struggle.
Yep.
Candace Cameron Bure, I've never met someone who is so dang happy.
Aw, that's so sweet.
Isn't that nice?
That is so nice. I love Dave. Not just because he said something nice about me, but I really do. He introduced me to my husband. How can I not love him?
Well, that's what I was thinking. And now, did he date Alanis Morissette?
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Was that song written about him? Everybody wants to know that.
That I don't know.
Come on.
We all think it was, but he would never say whether it was or not.
Yeah. I guess you wouldn't, really, considering the lyrics.
Yeah, exactly. Who'd want to admit that?
Well, thank you for coming back on this very special day, first day of our fifth season. And
it is my pleasure.
I've got three of my favorite girls on the show today, Kathy Lee, Candace, and Kerry.
All right.
First thing off the bat, actually, is what I'd like to know what's going on with Milk and Honey Cafe, because This is becoming a bit of a famous place. Did you not have a bunch of good press on this recently? Was it not on a television show or some magazine or something? I don't know. What's going on?
Well, yeah, we've had some great press. This is our new restaurant. We opened back in May, and it's in South Florida,
mm-hmm.
and we're doing great. It's kind of a I don't really know how to describe it. Everyone asks us, but it's kind of a European cuisine. We have breakfast, lunch, and then real upscale dinners that are cool, and Val's having a blast. He's always wanted to open a restaurant since I met him 13 years ago. He always said he would. So he retired, and now that's what he did.
Nice. And everybody's happy with it, and it's moving along quite nicely. Folks, the website for that, should you want to visit, Milk and Honey Cafe, it's M-I-L-K, that's how you spell milk, and then it's N for end, so milkandhoneycafe.com.
Yep.
And do you have takeout? Can we order from Canada? Maybe have something sent up? Are your mom's cookies on the menu is what I really want to know.
My mom's cookies. No, they're not on the menu, but I'll tell you, when my mom comes into town, she'll bake a whole big batch,
okay,
and then whoever just happens to go to the restaurant will get a special
okay.
treat.
When's your mom coming to town? can we just have a little fun here? I know this is a potentially very cheesy thing to do, but you know me. I'm all about the cheese.
Yes.
Full House is one of the best put-together shows in a long time. That's what I'm reading off of a little website here. And I'd like you to participate in a little bit of a Full House trivia.
Okay.
All right?
Yep.
I'm going to ask you some questions about Full House, and I'm going to click on your answer, and we're going to see how you do.
Okay, this is fun.
You ready?
Yeah.
All right. What episode did Kimmy first appear in? First, second, third, or fourth? What episode did Kimmy first appear in?
Okay. Oh, I don't know. Really? Fourth. Fourth episode. I know she wasn't in the first.
Okay.
Her name appeared in the first.
Final answer?
Yeah, final answer.
Lock it in?
Lock it in.
Okay, here we go. What was the name of Jesse's hero, Turtle?
Seriously, are people really watching Full House that much that they know this stuff?
Shh. No excuses, please. Bobo? Bobby, Bubba, or Billy?
Bobo.
Final answer?
Final answer.
All right. What circus character helped deliver...
Wait, what?
What circus character
uh-huh.
helped deliver a woman's baby and was the top story on Danny and Becky's Wake Up San Francisco? I'll say this again. What circus character helped deliver a woman's baby and was the top story on Danny and Becky's Wake Up San Francisco? A clown? A mime? The bearded lady? Statue man?
Oh, my goodness. Okay, a mime?
Final answer?
I don't know, mime, San Francisco. Final answer?
What's the correlation between mime and San Francisco?
Because there are a lot of mimes in San Francisco.
There's also a lot of bearded ladies there.
I haven't seen one.
There's not too many of these. We're just about done because I know this is painful. What was the name of the cat food that Jesse and Joey pitched an idea for in their advertising business? Kitty Krispies, Kitty Canoodles,
uh-uh.
Kitty Crunchies, or Kitty Tasties?
I think it's Kitty Krispies, I think.
Final answer?
Yeah, final answer.
I've always wanted to say final answer. It's just very cool that I can do this. What was the name of Stephanie's friend who got into a car accident? Denise?
Nope.
Excuse me. Can you wait till we're done? I don't want to hear a play-by-play on the answers.
Okay.
Denise.
Gia.
Shh.
Okay.
Claire.
No.
Taylor. Or Gia.
Gia. Final answer.
Where was Comet's mom, Minnie, from? Oklahoma, Idaho, Ohio, or Oregon?
Oh, I was going to say Nebraska, and that wasn't a choice. Okay, wait, read my choices again?
Would you like me to repeat the question?
No, I know the question.
Okay, all right. Oklahoma, Idaho, Ohio, or Oregon? There's a lot of O's there.
Yeah, we'll say Ohio.
Ohio. What did Kimmy's brother name his car?
Wild Thing.
Excuse me!
Sorry!
I need to read out the answers.
I'm sorry.
Madonna? Wild Thing? Tiffany? Cindy Lauper.
Wild Thing. Final answer.
All right. We have three questions left.
Okay.
Folks, we're on the phone with Candace Cameron Bure, otherwise known as Candace Bure. And we're giving her a little pop quiz on her own show, Full House. What were the names of Jesse's parents? Don't say anything.
Okay, I'm trying.
Irene and Tim.
Submit.
Submit. We'll talk about submitting in a little bit.
Okay.
Irene and Tim, Irene and Nick, Lisa and Ned, Lisa and Tim.
Irene and Nick. Final answer.
All right. Last two questions. What was the name of Michelle's Greek cousin who looked exactly like her? Natalie, Nichelle, Melina, Mandy.
Melina. Final answer.
This.
I have to say it every time.
This is the final question.
Okay.
What did Jesse tell Viper to get DJ when they were in the middle of a fight?
Wait, can I just say, who's naming us DJ and Viper?
I don't know.
Who's giving us the names on Full House? Okay, go ahead.
Was that not the right names?
No, that was right. But I'm saying, who came up with that? I'm Viper. Okay, sorry. I didn't even listen to the question because Viper made me laugh.
Okay, what did Jesse tell Viper to get DJ when they were in the middle of a fight? Flowers, jewelry, candy, a stupid gift.
A stupid gift.
Final answer?
Final answer.
All right, here we go, folks. Let's find out how Candace Bure did on this quiz. Submit. All right.
I thought you were telling me to submit.
You know what?
You're submitting the questions.
You know what?
What?
You scored 8 out of 10, ladies and gentlemen.
Woo-hoo!
Total points, 80. The average score for this quiz, which has actually been described as very hard, was 6 out of 10 for the average score.
Well, there you go. I know my Full House.
Let's talk about what you got wrong.
Okay, let's.
Because you know me. I like to talk about negative.
Yeah, I know.
What episode did Kimmy first appear in? Your answer? 4th.
Yeah.
The correct answer was 3rd. Her name was mentioned in the 1st when DJ was on the phone with her.
And I said that, right?
But she wasn't seen until the 3rd episode. 34% of players have answered correctly in that question.
Okay.
Ready? And then the next one you got wrong, the only other one you got wrong. Mm-hmm. What was the name of Jesse's hero turtle?
Oh, was it Bubba?
It wasn't Bobo. It was Bubba. Your answer? Bobo. The correct answer, Bubba. The turtle stopped Jesse from getting into a motorcycle crash. This is the episode, Return of Grandma. And she's not too happy about the turtle, but more concerned with getting the house in order. The family pulls together to find Bubba, and after, to do some serious cleaning. Wasn't that fun?
Yeah, why don't they make shows like Full House anymore?
I'm so proud of you. You know what? I was talking to someone the other day, actually Noelle. Noelle is the lady that works with me, and she's responsible for a lot of the website stuff and keeping my brains together. And she said that her daughter has gone out and spent her life savings on the full series of Full House.
Oh, the DVD?
Yeah, the DVD.
Yeah.
She's loving it.
That's awesome.
So anyway, just in case you don't know what's happening here on the Drew Marshall Show, we are speaking with Candace Bure, and of course, Candace is just a tremendous actress. Are you going to get back in the big silver screen?
I don't know.
They don't want Jesus people in Hollywood anymore? I mean, come on, what's the go?
Well, you know, I'm not pursuing it actively, so it's hard to say. But generally, I would say that the big films aren't so concerned with having Christian actors in anything.
When's The Wager coming out?
You know, they pushed it back again.
This is the movie you've done with
Randy Travis.
Randy Travis.
Yeah, and now they're saying February of 2008.
Okay. I guess we'll have to have you back again just to talk about that. Actually, Carrie is coming up here in March. Wouldn't it be hilarious if you could come up here when she was up here and we could all go tubing down the hills at the ranch?
Yeah, I just might.
That would be very cool.
I might have to come up.
That would be very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, a little more serious. What's happening with you spiritually these days? You know, we've kind of changed gears quite ferociously, but what's been going on?
I mean, thanks.
Yeah, I just thought I'd do that.
Transition.
Yeah, you know, I think we always ask you, you know, what's God been teaching you?
You know, I'm actually, honestly, I'm in kind of one of those I don't know periods because I think I'm learning so much and changing gears in my life right now of what I'm doing and with my kids and with Val being retired and all that, and I'm kind of in serious prayer mode of going, God, show me which direction you want me to go in, because I'm kind of unclear. although there's plenty of choices, I just want to know which one's right. And I don't necessarily think that one might be right and the other's wrong, but, you know, I just want to... I want to stay where he wants me most, but I just don't know where that is yet.
You want to stay where who wants you most, God or Val?
Or God. Well, both.
Okay.
Considering I need to submit to my husband and submit to God, it should be pleasing to both of them.
Now, it sounds like you're on a bit of a submission kick.
And you know why?
Why?
Because I'm going to be teaching on submission at a couple speaking events next year.
Do you think you should be? Do you think you should be teaching on something that you have a hard time with?
How do you know that? No, I don't have a hard time with it, but I'm just saying. How would you know?
I don't know. I'm just guessing. Anyway,
this is one of my favorite topics.
Why?
To talk about, because I wasn't the submissive wife, and I think if you asked Val honestly, he would say that I am a submissive wife now. And it's a subject or a topic that I wasn't taught anything about growing up, I don't want to say regardless of the church, but even my parents didn't teach me much about it. And then, so I got all of everything I knew from the world and, you know, what I watch on TV and read in magazines. So when I started learning the topic of submission through the Bible, it was scary, but yet it was very appealing to me in a way because it was something I'd never heard of. And when I started applying it to my life, our marriage was incredible and so many changes happened in my husband as well. And I couldn't imagine having a marriage work without, applying this every single day.
Yeah, because,
does that make sense?
Oh yeah, I get that. But whenever that topic is brought up amongst the ladies, there is more often than not a bunch of the girls who will say, "Are you kidding me? What, like, are we living in archaic times, caveman
right.
era here? Like, you know,
yep, you
my husband says jump or clean this or do that, or I want a beer in bed. I mean, I'm supposed to do that? What's the go?"
Yeah, it's a big belly laugh from all the ladies out there.
Yeah.
And then we think of ourselves that we have to wear these little floral print dresses
June with Cleaver.
Collars around them.
Yeah, June Cleaver, yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's not what it is.
But were you ever one of those girls who heard the whole submission thing and went, "Hold on"?
Well, I don't know that I protested, but I just didn't even have the thought in my mind that I was supposed to submit to my husband in any way. I thought when I got married, I was still going to have my career and do my thing, and he was going to do his thing, and we'd have our kids, and we'd just... I don't know. We'd work it out and do it. And there wasn't really a thought that it works out better if there is one head of the household instead of two heads of the household, you know, trying to make the decisions. It didn't occur to me. So it didn't scare me. I wasn't laughing at it, but I don't know.
Well, I think whenever people process this, what we're always afraid of is the other partners. But we're talking about women submitting to men and how that fits into our lives, especially in this day and age and scripturally, you know, where's the evidence for it? Okay, we got some good verses. There makes a lot of sense, but how do we do this? And the first thing that comes across people's minds or the ladies' minds is, I don't want him to take advantage of this new thing that I'm doing, this new submission thing. I can just see him going gangbusters on this stuff.
Right. And really the opposite is what happens, and that's why most of us get confused or, you know, get our feathers ruffled about talking about this subject. But
right. The
thing is, when we submit to our husbands, when I come home or when he comes home to a smiling wife that's got a, you know, content spirit about her, that I'm not complaining of, "Here, you take the kids, and, you know, I'm sick and tired of, I've had a long day," and but coming home to a happy wife. And then that, in turn, he will want to do more things for me and with the family. It goes hand in hand. When I've provided something wonderful for him at home, he then enjoys to be at home and then wants to say, "Hey, honey, what is it that you want to do, or where can I take you?" Because he's happy to be around.
Right. Okay, well, because there's also ethnicity that comes into play here, because there are people that come from different cultures where the women are suppressed.
Right.
I'm even just wondering about Val and the Russian stuff. I mean, is there any part of his culture that sort of has the women in their place?
Absolutely. And I think that is actually one reason that it's probably easier for me to be a submissive wife because of how dominant my husband is. I've talked to plenty of women who say, I would love for my husband to be the head of the house, but he doesn't want to, or he just comes home and he'd rather me do everything. And
So you're saying it's an advantage having someone who comes from a...
For me, it is, because okay. He comes from that culture where, the wife stays at home and cooks and cleans and does all this stuff. He kind of expects it, and I know that culturally from him. So it's not like a big shocker of, what, you want me to cook dinner?
Is he not the one that cooks the most in the house?
That's what I'm going to say.
Oh, okay.
You know, but actually, he does do all the cooking in our home because he absolutely loves to cook. But I'm just saying it is helpful that I have more of a dominant husband. He wants to be in control of the house. Hmm. But he never ever takes advantage. I can't tell you how, he asks my opinion in everything because he values it, he trusts it, if he makes some decisions that aren't the greatest decisions, I don't nag him about it, or I don't, throw it back in his face and say, well, if you would have done it my way, I just help him along the next time and be an encourager and say, hey, honey, it's okay that happened, and we'll figure it out next time and we'll try to do something. So that is... I have a respectful attitude toward him no matter what, good or bad decisions he makes, and that in turn he will keep coming back to me for advice. So when you are a submissive wife, you actually end up having so much influence with your husband that they will want to know everything you're thinking, and they'll want to do things that please you and make you happy.
Yeah, Kathy Lee Gifford just brought up in our conversation just a while ago the whole Queen Esther thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole thing kind of worked out pretty good. Here she was submitting to the king, and putting in front of him all these feasts, and waiting with her appeal until it was the right time. And
right.
I thought, way to go. And to be honest, I'm a yappy one. Okay, I'm the one who's out in front. I'm the microphone guy. I was the program director at camp. I was the yapping preacher at the church, and here I am with the radio thing. But behind every yappy male. Is the rock, and you've met Bev, Bev, she's the rock in my life. She is the one that I want to be the biggest encourager in my life. I remember leaving church and the lineup outside. Oh, well done, Pastor. That was really good. Oh, that you spoke right to my heart. Isn't that? Oh, God really used you. Blah 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 blah. But if my wife says something, I'm over the moon.
Right. That's
so
how it should be.
Well, yeah, I think it's a God design. I reckon anyway.
Yes.
All right.
Can we talk about the fact that you were a pastor somewhere?
I just want to glaze over that one. Is that not the scariest thing you could ever imagine?
I want to know what you were saying to them. Because I get
heresy.
Confused when you talk to me.
Heresy. It was all heresy, according to John MacArthur. Now, Candace and I, we have gone through Tony Campolo's book, Letters to a Young Evangelical. Because Candace and I kind of come from the two different camps that are out there these days. Although I don't know, I wouldn't exactly call myself in the liberal camp because that just sounds like I'm a pluralistic, watered down the Bible jerk, which I'm not, or I'm trying not to be. But Candace worships at the altar of John MacArthur. And I've said that many times, tongue in cheek. But now she's making me read John MacArthur's book, The Truth War.
Hey, I'm not making you do anything.
You are too.
I happily read Tony's book for you, so yeah. I thought you could read John MacArthur's book for me.
Yeah, obligation. I know. Fighting for Certainty in an Age of Deception, which is odd because the book I've just hunkered down with over the summer was written by a gentleman named Daniel Taylor, and it's called The Myth of Certainty. And now you've got me reading a book, the subtitle Fighting for Certainty in an Age of Deception. And I shared this with you when we were talking the other day, Candace, but our listeners don't know this. As I was driving down to Benny Hinn, yes, folks, I went to Benny Hinn, I was listening to the audio version of this book, John MacArthur, The Truth War. I was a half an hour down the road, and I was fuming, absolutely livid, so angry that I called up Daniel Taylor and said, you have got to reissue your book to counter John's book, The Truth War. So Candace and I are going to go through this book now. We are going through it. I'm finished, actually, but it was just the audio version. So you were kind enough to send me the print one so I can highlight stuff and we can fight over things.
Right.
But what's my problem? Like, do you have a problem with me?
No, I don't have a problem with you.
You don't think I'm a real Christian. You wonder about my salvation.
You have questioned
my spirituality.
Well, yeah, you do confuse me because you're kind of all over the place, and I don't really know what you believe. Because I think my brain's not working. Drew, you got me all flustered. What's the word I'm looking for?
I'm a wimp?
No, you contradict yourself.
Oh.
That's what I was looking for. You say things, and then you'll say something else, and you've contradicted what you just said. So sometimes
maybe
confuse me in where you stand.
Maybe it's less of a contradiction and more of an anomaly.
That's what you want people to believe.
I live to find contradictions in others. So if you find some in me, I want you to point them out, okay? I want you to just absolutely lambaste me. Don't let me get away with anything. Nothing at all.
Okay.
There are many listeners that are very happy you're in my life. Because I know that there's many people that think I'm just going off the deep end. But this book, let me just read the back of this book right now to our listeners, because we will be chatting about this in the future. Right now, truth is under attack and much is at stake. Perhaps no one in America is more passionate than John MacArthur about exposing those who are mounting this attack, especially those bringing the assault right into the church. And, of course, John just has a scathing attack back on the likes of Brian McLaren, Tony Campolo. Does that sound familiar? There is no middle ground, no safe zone for the uncommitted in this war. The battle for truth is raging, and this book reveals, listen, the pitfalls of postmodern thinking, why the emerging church movement is inherently flawed, the importance of truth and certainty in a postmodern society, and how to identify and address the errors and false teachings smuggled into churches.
Amen.
See? You're loving this, aren't you?
I am loving it. And I'm glad you just read that on your show. Because you probably would never have had I not given you the book.
I tried to get John on the show today.
Really?
I tried my best, just to surprise you, just as a little gift. Unfortunately, John was unavailable.
Oh.
But he is willing to come on another time.
That's awesome. I will be tuning in for that if I can find it on the internet.
All right. I don't want to sweat anymore. You've got me all upset. Let's talk about the chillin'.
The chillin'.
Lev. Max, Natasha, what's going on?
Yep. They're all a little under the weather right now, but they're doing great.
What do you mean? They're all, like, they got the flu?
Oh, they got ear infections and colds and,
oh,
you know, sinus problems. And I think we were traveling a lot. And then the airplanes, and then you come back into this air-conditioned world in Florida because it's so hot outside.
Yeah.
School started. But they're loving school.
Nice.
Fourth grade, second grade, kindergarten. I can't believe I have a fourth grader.
You are so old.
Kind of freaks me out. We went to the library today. It was the first time I'd taken my kids here in our city to the library. That made me sound like a horrible mom.
Yeah, way to go.
It's because we usually use our school library.
Oh, okay.
But anyway, we had so much fun. My kids are enjoying to read. With, you know, every year that passes by, so we went and got a whole bunch of books.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. It's, you know, I remember when I first took my son, I was a stay-at-home mom for 4 years. Boy, was I hot, let me tell you. But I went in amidst all these ladies for the, you know, come teach your kid how to read and have fun with all the stuffed animals in the library times.
Uh-huh.
And I just remember my son's eyes just lighting up, absolutely lighting up to a whole new world.
Yeah.
A whole new world.
Library's a fun place.
Yeah, it is good. I want to draw attention to your website, CandiceCameronBure.net. CandiceCameronBure, BURE.net. And now also, you want to go to ChristianWomenOnline.net because you have a monthly column there.
I do. I have a Q&A and anywhere from 1 to 3 questions depending on the length. And I, through my website and through Christian Women Online, I always get so many questions that are kind of the range. It's all different. They can range from fitness questions to parenting to just spiritual, you know, big life questions, marriage questions.
Yeah.
So when I did an interview on Christian Women Online, I got talking with the editor there, and we kind of hit it off. And she said, "Hey, what about doing the Q&A?" for our magazine every month, and I started that, and I've just enjoyed it so much and got lots of great feedback. I think there, you know, a lot of women have enjoyed some of the answers. So.
No, seriously, again, at the risk of sucking up or sounding like I'm sucking up here, you really do a great job responding to a variety of questions.
Oh, thank you.
What comes across is humility. But directness, you don't waffle. You're not a waffler. That's one of the reasons I like you. You just seriously, you're not a waffler. So good for you.
Thank you.
Okay, Candace, before we let you go.
Yes.
It's been fun.
It has been.
I want to go through one more quick quiz. I'm only going to read the question once. You have one chance to say the answer, and we're going to go through this in a speed dial situation. You ready?
Okay.
The first movie, this is a Full House trivia, folks, and if Candace Cameron fails this, we will all laugh at her. The first movie after the show for this star was The 13th Year. Who is it? Jodie Sweetin, Lori Loughlin. Is it Loughlin or Loughlin?
Loughlin.
Andrea Barber, Dave Coulier.
Wait, I'm sorry, what was the question?
Okay, do you remember when I said I'm not going to repeat the question?
No, but The 13th Year?
Yes.
That's a movie?
Yes.
I've never heard of it.
You got to pick one.
Lori Loughlin.
Okay. You're going to suck at this one. Okay, this full Hauser starred in numerous TV movies, including Abandoned and Deceived and Tell Me No Secrets. Who is it?
Lori Loughlin? I don't know. I've never heard of it.
Lori Loughlin, John Stamos, Candace Cameron Bure, Bob Saget.
John Stamos.
Okay. After Full House, you're going to suck at this one. This is so good. After Full House ended, this star can be seen in Behind the Walls of Full House and Celebrity Profile, as well as making guest appearances on Party of Five. Jodie Sweetin, John
Jodie
Stamos. Would you wait till I'm done?
Sorry.
Andrea Barber, Dave Coulier.
Jodie Sweetin.
It's all about Jodie today, isn't it?
First time I mentioned her.
Which actor or actress starred in Half Baked and Meet Wally Sparks? Dave Coulier, Bob Saget, Lori Loughlin, Jodie Sweetin.
Bob Saget.
This performer gave up acting, but only to appear in Behind the Walls of Full House and The Skateboard Kid 2. Who is it? John Stamos, Andrea Barber, Candace Cameron Bure, Dave Coulier.
Dave Coulier.
Which Full Houser can be seen in She Cried No and Night Scream?
Are you going to go through the list?
No, I'm just going to click your name on this. Candace Cameron Bure.
Yes, Candace Cameron Bure.
Which actor or actress performed in the movie titled Winning London? Ashley Olsen, Jodie Sweetin, Bob Saget, Dave Coulier.
Ashley Olsen.
Last two, here we go. This celebrity took part in producing after Full House ended, as well as hosting a VH1 show. Who is it? Mary-Kate Olsen, Bob Saget, John Stamos, Dave Coulier.
Dave Coulier.
This person took part in fashion designing after their hit TV show ended. Who exactly is it?
Ashley Olsen.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
Candace Cameron Bure, Jodie Sweetin, Lori Loughlin, Mary-Kate Olsen.
None. They're wrong.
Really?
Wait, fashion
designing. After their hit TV show ended, they took part in fashion designing.
Lori Loughlin was on a TV show where she was a fashion designer.
What's your answer,
Mary
please?
Mary-Kate. They have their Walmart line, right?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah, final answer.
Final question.
Drew, you're beating me up over here.
This is so fun. How many episodes of Full House were made in total? 203, 176, 199, 192.
192. I thought it was 194, though.
Well, okay.
Could their answers be wrong?
They could be.
Okay.
Your score? 6 out of 10.
What did I get wrong? Tell me.
The average score for this quiz, though, is 5 out of 10, so you're better than the average.
Okay.
Here are the ones you got wrong. The first movie after the show for this star was The 13th Year. Who was it? You had no clue. It was Dave Coulier.
Okay. Sorry, Dave.
This Full Houser starred in numerous TV movies, including Abandoned and Deceived and Tell Me No Secrets. Who is it? Lori.
So I got that right.
No, you said John.
Oh, darn.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry about your luck. This performer gave up acting, but only to appear in Behind the Walls of Full House and The Skateboard Kid 2. You said Dave Coulier. The correct answer was Andrea Barber.
I'm going to email her. I don't know if she was in something called the skateboard wall.
Yeah, okay. And this is your final wrong answer. This celebrity took part in producing After Full House Ended, as well as hosting a VH1 show. You said Dave Coulier. The correct answer was John Stamos. He produced that Beach Boys movie, as well as a couple of others. He took part in lots of movies, actually, but yeah.
Oh, but he's done so, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of a fake out, because they were saying after he only did, but, you know. Yeah,
whatever. Whatever. Whatever.
Full House quiz.
Do your kids,
really cares.
Do your kids ever say that to you? Whatever.
No, because I would, you
knock
know.
Their block off.
Yes. They may not say that to me.
Candace, always a treat to have you on the show. I appreciate your energy and your spiritual guidance in my life. We'll talk.
Well, thanks.
We'll talk soon, Candace.
Okay.
Take care.
Have a great show.
I sure will. See ya.
Okay. Bye.
What a wild child. Candace Cameron Bure. Johnny Lang singing in the background. Candace put me on to this boy. But he's got some good tunes. All right. Another short break on the show. I don't think we've broken enough, have we? We've got to play you some more commercials. We're going to come back with Nancy Guthrie, author of Hoping for Something Better, Refusing to Settle for Life as Usual. Stay with us, folks.